Nadine O'Regan. Nadine O'Regan. Songs in the key of life. Today.
Hello there, and a very good evening to you all. You're very welcome along to Songs in the Key of Life, the show on Today FM with myself, Nadine O'Regan, in which our guests take over the playlist and pick all of their favourite tunes for the hour ahead. 087-4100-102 if you'd like to get in touch this evening. You can also drop us a tweet at Nadine O'Regan or at Songs in the Key. This weekend, I'm delighted to welcome to the programme an Irish comedian who is back on tour in April. He is playing dates all over the country. You'll of course know him from his TV3 show as well, but you will know him best for his work on this very station. For he is Today FM's very own legendary Mario Rosenstock. Mario.
Good evening, Nadine. I'm delighted to be able to talk in my own voice.
It is a pleasure to have you in.
Thank you.
I'm very grateful for Ian Dempsey for letting me borrow you.
Second
as
me.
Such. The radio, I don't know whether it's the radio husband or the radio wife I've managed to take over.
Yeah, we exchange those roles. Sometimes he's the husband, sometimes I'm the husband.
Okay.
It's funny actually the way that works. Mm.
He has provided me with details about you, which
Great.
We will make use of later on in the show.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, the business end first, you have a show coming up in April. It's called In Your Face.
That's right.
You've added more and more dates. You're going to be playing everywhere.
That's it.
In the country. How are you feeling about it?
I'm really excited because this week we're just filming the big VTs, the big live screen stuff for the show. As people who know, who come to see my shows, I interact with big, huge, giant screens. So I could be Miriam O'Callaghan being on stage, interacting with Leo Varadkar, who's on screen, and maybe Pascal Donoghue could pop in beside him on screen. And so there's a three-way, sorry for that, the way that sounds, but going on between me and Miriam and Pascal and Leo. And so there's 100, 150 characters on any night during a show. It's kind of an extravaganza. It's 2 hours. An hour and then a break and then another hour, and usually reaches a huge climax, and it's going all over the country. So Cork, starting for 6 nights in Cork and ending in the Gaiety in May for 5 nights in the Gaiety. I come out once every 2 years. I do a big show. It's a new show. I tell people it's a new show. When they come to see it, they know it's a new show. And it's my favourite thing to do. It's my favourite thing to do. I love the radio and I love TV. But my favourite thing is the combination of being able to do the writing and the characters that I love on stage in front of people who I can see their eyeballs and hear them laughing. On the radio, you can come up with great ideas, but you can never hear people laughing on the radio.
Mario, you're in and out of TV3, RTE, obviously here in Today FM. Who do you not want to get stuck in a lift with of the people that you do impressions of?
Michael Flatley, I think.
Oh, would be, yeah.
Michael Flatley would be an awkward one to get stuck in the lift, because I understand that he's not a great fan of what I do. And just the concept of me and Michael Flatley in the same lift would be difficult. I actually did get stuck in a lift here in Today FM with Brian Cowan during the height of the crisis.
No way.
Yeah, and the
as I in was, the lift actually ground
the,
to a halt.
The lift in Today FM, I got into the lift, it was about to close, and a shoe came through the lift. And the door opened again, and it was Brian Cowan going up to News Talk, I think, to do an interview. And me and him...
And was this before or after the banking agreement?
Oh, this was just around that time.
Oh, okay.
This was 2010. So we got into the lift. He's kind of acknowledged me. And then the lift lasted about 15 seconds. And as the lift went ding-dong, just as he was about to get out, he went, "Well, I'm giving you all the material anyway, aren't they?" And I didn't know what to say to him. And it just came into my head and said, "Taoiseach, you're the gift that keeps on giving." And he went, and it dawned on me then that he'd had a great sense of humour throughout all this crisis, throughout all the pain and the misery and his own personal difficulties during this. He actually seemed to still have hold on to a sense of humour. And I was quite happy to see that. And because I think that no matter how bad things are, I think we just need to hold on to that, whatever is left that can be a sense of humour, you know?
Well, we'll talk more about the people that you do impersonations of. And it's kind of appropriate, actually, that this week has International Women's Day as part of the week, because you are both male and a little bit female as well.
That's right. I have to embrace my female side.
Yes, but you're also a musical man.
It depends on how you interpret that.
Well, when I asked you to come up with a playlist for the show this evening, there were frenzied emails. I got the impression you were working late into the night. There were a lot of calls. There were a lot of hard decisions.
Yeah.
and 30 songs emerged. 30.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to get to all of them. Yeah. But I think it might be very appropriate to begin with the Who. And who are you?
Yeah.
So why do you love this track so much?
There's two reasons. One, the Who Are You was the theme tune to my TV show on RTE for a while. And it was emblematic of the idea of that I'm turning up as different characters all the time. So you'd hear this track, Who Are You? And the other one is because I just like The Who. I just like their madness. I love the you know, Daltrey and, you know, Keith Moon and the craziness they came up with. And I also thought they had a sound. I was listening back to it again the other day, a sound which sounds surprisingly modern. And given that it's so old, I think this track sounds kind of very modern. And so I love their unpredictability, their madness, their durability, and the fact that something so old can still sound so fresh.
All right, let's hear the track. This is The Who. It's Mario Rosenstock's choice on Songs in the Key of Life this evening. It's Who Are You? Who Are You there from The Who, picked out for us very appropriately this evening as his first selection from Mario Rosenstock, of course, of Gif Grub here on Today FM, but also taking his talents to a nationwide tour from April. Mario, going back to the early days, when you first became this person who wanted to do impressions, I've heard tell that the first person you very successfully took off was actually your grandmother, Dorothy.
She was one of the first people, yes. My father probably would have come around the same time as her. Yeah, but my grandmother, I had a very close relationship with my grandmother. My grandmother used to sit at home listening to BBC Radio 4 and Kaleidoscope and listen with Mother and the Archers. And I kind of lived with my grandparents for a long time during my youth.
Was this in Waterford?
It was on a farm in Waterford. So I was brought up on a farm largely in Waterford with my grandparents. And I lived with my mother and my father as well. It's a complicated life story. But anyway, I have a particular affection for my grandmother. And actually, my grandmother probably inspired my impersonation of Michael D. Higgins. Because
there was something about the way she talked that was a bit like that. It was a bit like Michael D.
And so, but she had a kind of a very interesting personality because we had a dog and the dog was called Max. We had lots of dogs, 8 dogs on the farm, and the dog was called Max. But my grandmother used to like to see things differently. So she didn't like think that the dog was called Max. She decided she would call it
Twilight.
And my grandfather, Sean, would go, "The dog's name is Max." Well, quailed that now. And she'd go, "The dog's name is not Max. It's Twilight." And so of an evening, I would hear both my grandmother and my grandfather go out to the step to call the dog in. And the grandfather would be going, "Here, Max, boy. Here, Max. 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 Come on, come on, come on." And she'd be there, "Twilight. Twilight. Twilight." The dog's head must have been absolutely wrecked. The dog was a schizophrenic. Even my brother, who is called René, I have a brother called René, she refused to call him René for the first 3 years of his life.
"He's not René. He's Sasha."
Oh, my God.
God. I mean, what kind of... So this woman, my grandmother, Dorothy was her name, she actually instilled in me, I think inadvertently, an interest in looking at things differently or not necessarily to take things at face value.
Mm.
She also gave me a sense of personal confidence. I think we all have a mixture of security and insecurity in ourselves. But I think that in your life, we all need somebody to champion you. We all need somebody who tells you you're great and they mean it and you believe them. You are brilliant. She was the one that told me that I was brilliant. And she said that I could be brilliant and do something that was brilliant. And I believed her. And sometimes when I'm nervous and I'm just about to take my foot on stage and I'm feeling I can't do it, I think back to her and I go, don't worry, you're brilliant, because Dorothy, I used to call her Gamma. Gamma told you, you were brilliant. And so so she kind of implanted it in me, I think.
Is there a track that makes you think of that time, of family, going back in the day?
Well, there would be a lot. I grew up in Waterford, so Gilbert O'Sullivan was an artist that we used to listen to a lot. Alone Again, naturally, that one. And in fact, when I'm still on tour, I often follow Gilbert, so Gilbert might be in the Wexford National Opera House and I might be following him the next night and I go, wow, Gilbert O'Sullivan was here.
Well, maybe let's play a bit of Gilbert for your grandmother.
Gilbert, oh, definitely. Alone Again, naturally, would have been absolutely Waterford back in 1976, 77, 78.
All right, let's hear it. This is Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Wait a little while from now, I'm not feeling any less sound. I promised myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. Climbing to the top, will throw myself off in an effort to make clear to ever what it's like when you're shattered, left standing in the lurch at a church where people say, my God, that's tough, she stood him up. No point in us remaining, we may as well go. I did on my own, alone again, naturally. To think that only yesterday I was cheerful, bright and gay, looking forward to the role I was about. Alone again, naturally.
Gilbert O'Sullivan there with Alone Again, Naturally. On Today FM. And that, of course, was Mario Rosenstock's choice this evening on Songs in the Key of Life. Mario, that's an old school choice, but let's face it, you got pretty racy as a teen. Apparently, you wore Don Johnson style outfits. You were a bit of a dude. You went to boarding school. The lady on your arm was no less a woman than Camille O'Sullivan, the famous yes. Camille O'Sullivan. Yeah. So I get the impression that from the family farm and from sometimes, you know, tricky circumstances from a family perspective, you went right up there and had the shades, had the look. You were playing the lead in the school play.
Yeah.
You had it all.
I think I was pretty insecure, and I think a lot of insecure people overcompensate for that. So I was, as I say, I was a bit of a Don Johnson knockoff. I went down to this boarding school. I used to wear these little sort of white jackets with the sleeves rolled up. I used to have an earring in my ear, Don Johnson kind of haircut. And
now, were you cool, or did you just think you were cool?
Oh, I mean, come on! You're not going to expect that I'm actually going to say that I was cool.
Were you popular?
Oh, I wouldn't necessarily say popular. I would have had my tussles, you know. I could have been quite difficult to deal with, you know, and especially when I was 13, 14, 15, I would have been seen as pretty arrogant and quite. What's the word? Blunt. That's a Germanic thing I have.
I would say your contemporaries lived in fear of you taking them off.
I wasn't so much known for taking people off at that age. No, I was just a bit of an upstart, I think. But it was in school in Cork at about 14 that I discovered theatre. I discovered acting. And so that was a kind of a lightning bolt moment for me.
And did you and Camille play leads in the play?
We did. I met Camille when I was 16, and she was in the same school as me, and I could instantly see what a driven person she was. She was an incredibly talented, driven person. She was brilliant at sports. She was brilliant at music. She was brilliant at the piano. She was brilliant. She had really sophisticated musical tastes, and she was beautiful, and as she still is. And, you know, so like we were kind of little smitten for a little while, and towards the end of our school years, and we did plays together. We did, she played my mistress actually in Death of a Salesman, where I played Willie Loman, the 63-year-old hero, but he has a mistress in the play who was played by Camille, and a lot of great memories.
Well, Camille was on the show as well, and she also recollected her school days. and her early relationship very fondly. And it's been interesting to note that you have picked some of the same tracks, which does make sense. The likes of, say, Kate Bush is on your list, and also The Cure, and also The Smiths. So maybe now let's go to that track. And now, far from the Don Johnson look, The Smiths would have been a different world again. What track have you gone for?
I think it's Every Day Is Like Sunday. I mean, I like a lot of Morrissey tracks. I like a lot of Smith tracks. But I think he stands out because he has the audacity, the balls to use language that would look, you would never write yourself. Mm. You would write it down on a page and you go, I can't sing that. There's nobody could sing that. And that's what makes him amazing. The audacity and the balls to write the nakedly kind of clumsy lyrics. I mean, he writes lyrics that are verging on Phoebe in Friends, Smelly Cat. And for some reason, he pulls them off. You know, nuclear bomb, come Armageddon. I mean, only Phoebe could write a song. Phoebe could write a song called Girlfriend in a Coma. I know, it's serious. Imagine a song called Girlfriend in a Coma. Imagine walking into a record label and they're going, well, what's your first one? Girlfriend in a Coma, get out.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So he has incredible belief in his own song lyrical ability, and there's a real pathos and a poignancy and a romance and a dreaminess to his melody as well, and I love that.
All right, let's hear Mario Rosenstock's choice this evening on Songs in the Key of Life. Every Day Is Like Sunday. Every Day Is Like Sunday there. An older track, but a gorgeous track. Mario, after leaving boarding school, you started off as an actor. You were in Glenroe.
Yeah.
And then, of course, came the Today FM years. You've been paired with Ian Dempsey now for over 18 years.
Yeah, it's 19 years in May.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, it is a brilliant relationship. And, you know, I owe an awful lot to Ian. I was an actor, and I was kind of 26 years of age. I was kind of waiting for the phone to ring. I was a bit frustrated. I was teaching English. I was acting. I was in Glenroe. I was not acting. I was not working. And then this radio station started, Today FM. And I remember the big deal was Look Who We Poach for Breakfast. And Ian Dempsey joined.
Yeah, the great ad.
And the brilliant ad. And Ian joined. And soon after, he was kind of looking for some sort of comedy item to work with. He had previously worked with Zig and Zag, of course, and he'd even done a kind of an earlier thing with Graham Linehan on his 2FM show. They had a little item called Starship Roisin for a while. And funnily enough, before Ian joined Today FM, I had a little thing called Starship Compromise, which featured Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness going around the galaxy in a spaceship trying to compromise with the different people they met, which was reflecting the Good Friday Agreement and all that was going on. And so Ian just wanted to meet somebody to work with in a comic form. So himself and his producer, Paul McClune, still of this parish, sat down at me, and we all got on brilliantly. Our sense of humours complemented each other, and myself and Paul and Ian then put together the early Gift Grub. 19 years later, it's still going.
Well, I emailed Ian to ask him for a comprehensive list of details about you that I should know.
Okay.
Because obviously Ian knows you best.
Yeah.
And I was provided with an amazing list.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start,
okay,
but I will go for it. Mario Rosenstock can open a beer bottle with his teeth.
Yeah.
When he's out, he's out.
I am.
True. He appreciates the complications of and quite likes dressing as a woman.
I do. Both. I love the feeling of women's tights.
He likes to put the cat amongst the pigeons on social occasions by making sweeping statements that he doesn't really believe in, like, you two are crap, just to get the conversation going.
I would have said you two's lyrics are crap. I would have said you two are amazing, but me and him had a massive argument in Austria once arguing about Bono's lyrics, yeah. And I do make sweeping generalizations to put the cat among the pigeons, that's true.
He finds Donald Trump beyond parody.
I do, a little bit. I think that nobody does Donald Trump better than Donald Trump. He moves too fast. The news cycle turns over too quickly. And by the time you've decided you want to take the pee out of him, he's done something, four things that are new. So it's hard to keep up.
And one statement that I really need to hear more about. He believes the myth that Daniel O'Donnell once tried to run him over in a Volvo.
I believe the fact that Daniel O'Donnell tried to run me over in a Volvo. I was standing on Delir Street. And I was about to cross the road and this car broke a red light as far as I could see, or else the tail end of the red light. I wouldn't say he broke the law. And it was that far away from whizzing over my foot. And I looked around to see who it was, and these dead eyes looked at me from the car like that. And I knew it was Daniel O'Donnell the moment I saw it, and I thought he tried to assassinate me.
He's not your greatest fan.
I don't know if he is. I think he plays his cards quite close to his chest. I think Daniel is one of the cutest media workers in the business. So whether he likes me or whether he doesn't like me is probably not known. I've heard him on radio going, imagine cutting you down like this. I've heard him on radio going, oh, there's loads of people doing me on the radio. I don't know which one you're talking about. There's a great fellow up in Donegal who does me every day. He's the best, I'd say. And you're there listening to him. And he said it on Today FM and to Ray Darcy. And Ray's like, yeah, but you know, we have our own one that does you, don't you? And he went, no, I've never heard him. Who is he? And so, you know, that's the kind of way to cut you down, you know. So
He's cute. All right.
Have you ever had him on Songs of the Key of Life?
I've been thinking about
it. Oh, it would be brilliant.
Post Room to Improve.
Wouldn't it be brilliant asking him, you know, he wants to play Toxic Dump or, you know, Infested Graveyard or some of his trash metal favourites.
Well, maybe we'll get there. But you do have a track on your playlist, which is for... your erstwhile Today FM colleague, Tony Fenton.
Yeah. Obviously, Tony was Mr. Music.
Yeah.
So there's so many musical tracks that I could have picked. But the song that I'm going to pick is Al Green's Let's Stay Together, because Tony and I loved Pulp Fiction. And one of the opening scenes in Pulp Fiction is Marcellus Wallace discussing how Bruce Willis is going to take a fall in the fifth round, I think. And they play the entire track. Tarantino plays the entire track of Al Green's Let's Stay Together. And it reminds me of Tony.
Awesome. For the late, great Tony Fenton. This is Mari Rosenstock's choice. It is Al Green on Songs in the Key of Life. Green there, of course. Let's Stay Together, Mari Rosenstock's choice this evening on Songs in the Key of Life with myself, Nadine O'Regan. Hi to everyone who's been getting in touch. Hi to Jennifer Tedstone, who absolutely loved that Morrissey track. And also hi to Jared Carton, who was in touch on the Twitter at Nadine O'Regan. And he was saying that Gilbert O'Sullivan song must be the saddest song ever. If you're not crying at the end, your soul has died. Still love it though. Do get in touch on the Twitter at Nadine O'Regan, of course, or at Songs in the Key. We'll be back right after these.
Songs in the Key of Life with Nadine O'Regan. Today FM.
0874 100 102. If you'd like to get in touch this evening, you can also drop us a tweet at Nadine O'Regan or at Songs in the Key. If you have just tuned in, I am here with Today FM's own Mario Rosenstock. He is picking the songs this evening. And of course, he has a tour coming up as well in April. Kicking off, when is it kicking off, Mario?
April 9th in the Opera House.
April 9th. So many dates added. It's hard to keep up with you. You're a popular man.
Thank you. It's fantastic. And I think the... I attribute it to a slight upturn in the economy, actually, rather than my own work.
Well, it's true, isn't it? Because during the recession, people, and Deirdre O'Kane actually has said this, people were a little bit embarrassed, you know, particularly for corporate events, to be seen to be hiring comedians.
Oh, yeah, it all disappeared.
Yeah.
The banks and everything just couldn't be seen to do any of that stuff. So I remember in about 2014, I did one, and the name of the event was... reasons to party again, basically. So people were actually trying to send out this message of, we can come out of our shells.
It's okay.
It's okay to celebrate our company or whatever.
Do you worry about being liked?
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, and give you a blasé answer about that, or kind of a blithe answer. I mean, when you're a performer or a comedian or an actor, you absolutely are. It's a desire to be liked. It's you're reaching out. You are asking people to like you. You are showing things which are in your brain. You are revealing things which are in your soul and your heart. It's a validation. It's a quest for validation. So yes, I do care about being liked. However, I realize that not everybody can like you, and I kind of almost get used to the idea. I try to inure myself or strengthen myself to the idea that, like, you know, people just won't like you, and that's fine.
When you're on a night out and somebody recognizes you, what is your worst fear about what then happens?
That they surround me with loads of people and say, lads, listen, here's the funniest guy in the world, and everybody goes, who's he? And nobody knows who I am. And then you're and there's one guy going, no, he's the funniest guy in the world, and somebody's going, Neil Delamere, is it? And I'm there, no, you know, Tommy Tiernan or something, Dave McSavage. And so that's a kind of a nightmare. But actually, I love people and I love being approached by people. And I'm a little lovey, really, at heart. And when I'm out, I'm out.
As Ian said.
Yeah.
And actually, one thing that everybody has said in relation to your name is, well, obviously there's the comedy, there are the stage shows and everything else. But in your personal life, tennis. Yeah. Is where it's at for you.
I have a lot of love for tennis for many different reasons. I think it's my favourite sport. I love it, watching it. I think we're going through the greatest era of sport, of tennis sport, that we've ever had, with Roger Federer and Nadal and Djokovic and Murray and Wawrinka and all these people. So tennis is really exciting. From a personal point of view, I love the way tennis makes me feel. It's very meditative. I think tennis is a bit like theatre. When you hit the ball, when I hit the ball to you, it's your line. When you hit the ball to me, it's my line. Your line, my line, your line, my line. It's like a little play. It's like a dialogue.
Do you wear a headband? Do you have a nice little outfit?
I do have a nice little outfit. I have lots of little nice little outfits. And I still keep my 1980s outfits. Skimpy shorts.
Awesome.
Tight t-shirts. No, I don't wear a headband. But I do like wearing whites. So I wear whites a lot, yeah.
And when you're limbering up,
yeah,
you have a particular song that you like to play.
I do.
Before a big tournament.
Yeah, whenever I play tennis or whenever I run, which I should do more, I love listening to Donna Summer, I Feel Love. It still sounds new today, I think.
Oh, it does.
I think so.
Yeah. And forever now, it'll be in my head as your track for when the big match is about
to happen. All know what, you know, I Feel Love is about and what she's doing during the song. But for me, it's about rhythm. Everything is about rhythm, really. I just replace what she's doing with tennis.
Yes.
If I could play tennis as well as she's doing what she's doing. New balls, please.
Mario Rosenstock's choice. This is Donna Summer.
Thank you.
Donna Summer there with I Feel Love. And that, of course, was the selection of my guest, Mario Rosenstock. Mario, we haven't talked much about your family, and you do have two young children. And I hear tell that your daughter already looks like she might be following in your footsteps, that she's got some natural talents out there. Would you hope that for your kids?
Not particularly, no. I have two children, Dash and Bellamy. And Dash is 10, and he is adorable. He's very emotionally intelligent, and he's great fun. She is a rocket. She is a powerhouse, and she's a big drama queen. She's a huge diva, and she may have drama in her, but I'm not going to encourage it. If she wants to go down that line, she can.
Do they both, well, I guess she's too young, but do they both kind of understand what you do?
They do. He particularly does. He's at that age, and I'm cherishing it at the moment, where all his friends think I'm cool. Aww. And I know that in 3 years, that's going to be so gone. They're just going to go, your dad is such a loser. Your dad does funny voices. Oh my God, he's such a, you know, because at the moment they think, oh my God, his dad is on telly. His dad is on the radio. His dad does like Leo Varadkar and stuff. He's funny. So I'm only going to get away with that for a few years before they all think I'm rubbish. She just goes, how does he get into the television?
And how does he get back out?
Yeah, and why is he in the radio?
Yeah.
And can he, you know, and how does he get back out? And are you going into the radio now? When I leave the house, she goes, are you climbing into the radio?
So cute.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we might play something from a younger talent now, a new-ish talent, Áine Cathal.
Yeah, listen, I mean, this song, Black Dahlia, is an absolutely beautiful song, and I think she is a mega talent, and deserves, you know, deserves all the accolades that she's receiving.
All right, let's hear her. This is Áine Cathal, Mario Rosenstock's choice on Songs in the Key of Life.
Some things turn upside down. Reach the top, then I hit the ground. And they said I would have a star on the Walk of Fame. And almost there I got so far, but I know who's to blame. You said my skin was porcelain, and I want fame like
Áine Cathal there with Black Dahlia, as taken from a live session recorded for Ian Dempsey on Today FM. And that, of course, was the selection this evening of my guest, Mario Rosenstock of Today FM, who is about to embark on a nationwide tour from April. Mario, one obvious question is, I suppose, why always do the tours? Why keep going? Because after all, with Today FM and with Gift Grub, you kind of have everything. Like, you don't need to go on tour.
Yeah, I think that there's a very obvious need, and that is like my family and my two little kids need me to provide for them. But the main thing is that I learned, I suppose when I started doing Gift Grub, I had a bit of in the first few weeks of doing it, I nearly had a psychological breakdown. I couldn't actually, there was 1 week I started bawling, crying, and I couldn't actually do it.
Why?
Because I couldn't cope with the workload. You would put everything into one sketch.
Yeah.
Then the sketch would go out at 8:15 in the morning, and somebody would go, right, now for tomorrow. And I go, sorry, I've given everything I have to that. I'm almost emotional after it. I can't do it again for tomorrow. So the realization that there's always tomorrow, that radio consumes material unbelievably fast, really toughened me up to the idea that, first of all, you have to be ready for tomorrow and you have to keep it going. This is going to keep demanding material. So the other thing that I noticed was that jokes and characters and material and ideas for sketches get used up really quickly. So you've got to keep worrying and thinking about the future and wondering what's new, what's coming up. And so the idea of reinvention keeps coming up. So I've always had this drive to keep trying to make new things, knowing that the only way to keep going is to make new stuff. So the only reason I've kept it going 19 years is partly because I want it to go on, and by keeping new ideas coming. And that includes Ian and Charlie and Shauna and all the great people, you know, that contribute to these things. But you've got to go miles ahead into the future to keep, you know, moving forward.
Mm.
So that's the only thing that makes it exciting. Like resting on your laurels in relation to comedy or anything like that is just it becomes really stale really quickly. So new characters, new ideas, new things.
Well, Mario, we have one final track left to play, and ABBA is a huge deal for you.
It is.
So I think it would be remiss of us not to get some ABBA in there.
Yeah, I mean, I've just spent my whole life being slagged about this, all right? But I like ABBA.
Dancing.
I love ABBA. I love a lot of their music. And not only does it remind me of being a child or whatever, but since I've grown older, I've still managed to appreciate their music. I love where ABBA comes from not lyrically, but melodically. I think that Dancing Queen and other songs like it are just the most perfectly, perfectly crafted pop songs. Dancing Queen particularly is just absolutely impeccable. It's absolutely perfect. It has a perfect mixture between joy and sadness. You can feel the poignancy of being young and naive. And, you know, what is it really? It's a girl who's on a dance floor and she doesn't really know herself, but she's just, you know, she just wants to experience the joy of dancing. And she is the queen when she dances.
Mario Rosenstock, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. We're going to close out this evening with ABBA's Dancing Queen. Thank you again. Mario Rosenstock's final selection there on Songs in the Key of Life. And that is about it from us for another week on the show. We'll be back next Sunday night, of course, at 9 p.m. Kellyanne Byrne is up next with some brilliant tunes. And just want to say thanks to everyone who's been in touch, from your bus trips to Catherine O'Connor texting in. Also, Anya Cahill was in touch, so thank you as well for your tweet. We will see you next time out with more tunes, Songs in the Key of Life. Till then, take care.
Songs in the Key of Life with Nadine O'Regan. Today FM.